This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
The first book did tremendous. New York Times bestseller.
Yep. I just found out this also is a New York Times bestseller.
Wow. When did this come out?
This came out 10 days ago.
10 days ago.
It's going to be number two on a New York Times bestseller list.
So what's the basic premise? I mean, you don't write these things lightly. I know you have like an 18,000 book deal with somebody.
You know, this is a good chance to break the news because I know enough people watch this. This is done with Harper Business.
Right.
My last book deal, my 10 book deal was signed with Harper Studio.
Huh.
That dissolved when the guy who created it left.
Huh.
So this was a separate book deal. I actually have no more books that I have to write. I wrote this 18 months after Crush It. I don't expect to write another book for a while. Mainly because I think you have to, you know, I don't want to just pump them out for the sake of pumping them out.
Right.
Now listen, tomorrow I might wake up and, you know, maybe I'll come up with some amazing idea tonight and want to, but I kind of feel like I need a little bit of a break. This book feels really good to me. I feel like I've matured dramatically since I wrote Crush It. I started a company with my brother AJ called VaynerMedia.
Right.
So we've done a lot of consulting in corporate America for, you know, PepsiCo and Green Mountain Coffee and Campbell's and the NHL, big companies. I understand the entrepreneur thing. I understand the small business thing, but I've learned a lot about corporate. This talks about what is really the ROI of giving a crap. Like, is the world really changing? Like, it is my firm belief that the world is changing. It is my firm belief that if you have to care about the end user in a world that we all know we live in, which is based on word of mouth and social equity. And so I dig into this pretty deeply, and it's really funny. I actually came up with the title of this book, giving an interview about Crush It. Crush It, hey Wanda, Crush It was doing extremely well. Everybody was stunned it did well. You know, all the other social media books in 2008 did not do well.
Right.
Mine sold extremely well, mainly because you bought a crap load of copies, so I appreciate
that. Yes, I always do that for my friends.
And I in one interview said, they were pushing. They were kind of, it was like a Washington Post, you okay?
Yeah.
Tyler's okay. They were like pushing, they're like, come on, why did your book sell? And I was trying to figure out, and after the interview, they told me, they thought I bought all my copies.
Right.
They dug into it, they tried to like expose me, I didn't know what was going on. They were pushing, they're like, why'd your book do so well? And finally I said, well, the thank you economy. And it stuck. I think that I paid forward so much for my community. At the time, 800 episodes of Wine Library TV, you know how much at replying I do on Twitter, answering my email, you know, give, that when I came and I asked for something and it was only 20 bucks.
It was an easy ask.
It was an easy ask. I almost call this book guilt marketing.
Right, it's sort of like Evernote where people feel so good about the product, the CEO told us on the show, they just pay and the number one reason they give is because they want to support the product.
It's like how I feel about you. I walked in here and just gave you 100 bucks.
Absolutely, we'll spend it later. So the concept that social media is changing everything, let's unpack that a little bit.
The word social media is broken, right? Because the word media is screwing with everybody's head. Everybody thinks that's push, right? Media has been the same way for 100 years. Print, radio, push.
Right.
Television, push.
Right.
You know, banner ads, push. Billboards, push. Email services, push. Push, 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 push.
Right.
We are in the business of creating content and we push the living crap out of it.
Right.
We are now living through the first place where it's pull. It's the difference between what we're doing right now, which is creating and pushing content, compared to that skill set of working the room. After we're done, I'm gonna go over there and hang out with these awesome people that decided to come
Absolutely.
And hang. And the skill set to work the room and meet people and shake their hands is the skill set that I think businesses need. Whether you're Ford or Apple or Pepsi, social context is gonna matter. Everybody in our world says content is king. In my opinion, if content is king, context is God.
Right.
And the word context is about to explode in mattering to this room, to the viewers, to this universe.
And so it's why you build the product, it's how you behave with your customers. Even if you have millions of customers like Apple, you see Steve Jobs writing these 1 a.m. emails, and the guy's obviously busy, but he can't help himself. And he was a recluse, he would never respond publicly. And then something happened in the last 2 or 3 years where even Steve Jobs would write to people the blunt, honest, I don't know if you saw that email where he said, what have you contributed to the world? Why are you being so nasty and criticizing my products?
Well,
and it was like, wow, Steve Jobs is actually engaging customers.
I think first and foremost, especially people in our space, and we all know so much. I mean, anybody that's even watching this show is so far ahead. I'd love for them to wrap their head around that. The fact you're watching this show means that you clearly do know where the world's going at some level in a way that so many other people don't. I do believe our space is ridiculously cynical. I'm shocked how cynical our society is in general. You know, as a guy who's got good guy DNA and has an amazing mother and raised him well, you know, I'm shocked how many people just don't believe you can be good. By the way, I'm not good because I'm such a great guy. I'm good because I firmly believe that that's how you're gonna have to do business. I'm here to sell stuff. I'm here to make business happen. I wanna buy the New York Jets. I'm not Mother Teresa. I have no interest in rock climbing and drinking tea and all kumbayaing. I wanna build businesses. I think being good is going to be a substantial backbone of that.
Was that drinking tea and going rock climbing a dig at Kevin?
Absolutely not. Kevin's one of my best friends.
Of course. And
it's a dig at San Francisco in general, and I don't really mean it. I love SF, but right. There is this thing that I just wanna make sure, listen, I'm a little bit disgusted with myself, Jace. I talk a lot about huggy feeling, like it shocks me that I am this person at 35, you know, because I'm the kid that ripped up flowers, rang the doorbell and sold it back. I'm raw, right?
But now you're realizing being the nice guy and the thank you is what's gonna get you to the next level?
Well, here's the thing, right? I grew up in a family business. We lived on the thank you economy. I lived to deliver a case of wine to somebody if they had a bad experience or took care of them. But what happened, it's like this. If somebody tripped in your parking lot as you went out to your beautifully colored mobile tonight,
yep.
And a lady trips and you help her up and we all left, right? How many people in the world know that you're a good guy? Two. You and her, right? If somebody trips at the Macy's Day Parade and you save her and you pick her up before Snoopy crushes her ass, you're a national hero, right? In my opinion, what's happened to business because of the transparency and the ecosystem of the Twitters and the Facebooks and now the Tumblrs and Quoras and on and on and on of the world, so much of what we do in business is played out in public, and the return on investment of being a good guy and a good company has dramatically more value. It's just the way it is. Now, listen, and let me say it here right now, because I know where you're going. Everything I write about in this book and everything I believe in the way I'm executing my businesses, whether it's VaynerMedia or Wine Library or my personal brand, is gonna get ruined in 5 years.
Why?
Because it's gonna be like email. Do you remember the first time you got email?
Yeah, it was important.
You were pumped. You were like, holy shit, I'm not paying for a stamp fee on this? This is incredible. No phone call fee. You got mail and you would like start dancing like Santa came over, right?
Right,
you
got mail.
Now, what do you guys feel about email? You hate it.
Right, so when you say people are gonna be so nice, they're gonna be so good to their customers, even the airlines are gonna treat us with respect and love and tenderness, it's gonna be commoditized?
Here's my concern, that companies are gonna do it as a tactic, right? Wow. It comes natural to me to engage, right? You know, the reason I did well on Twitter is I was interested in surmise more than I was interested in Twitter, right? I searched and I gave feedback. I always think a business is best when it's a service above what they're actually doing, right? My concern is that as companies figure out what I'm talking about here and realize people really do win when they start engaging and caring and answering and not putting their head in the sand, right? And creating context. I think it's gonna become a commodity. I do, I think it's gonna become free shipping. In 1998, when I did free shipping at winelibrary.com, it was one of the big, listen to this, we were a $4 million business at the time, we're a $60 million business now. It was the biggest day of business we've ever had, still to this day.
Okay? Free shipping.
Free shipping, it was the first time I ever did it, 98. People were buying wine that day like it had the cure inside. They were going nuts. One guy bought 20 cases, left a note and said, I'm buying this wine for my daughter's wedding. I called him, living in the thank you economy back then, not realizing it, right? I called him to thank him. I said, hey Jim, thanks so much. I mean, it's incredible. You know, when's your daughter's wedding? Maybe we can send some champagne or something. He goes, oh no, Gary, my daughter is 12. I said, what? He goes, yeah, she's 12, but this is such a sick deal I'm gonna put this in a cellar and it's amazing. Now, everybody who's watching this is so entitled, so primed out, right? That they won't even buy anything unless they have free shipping. And so what I'm saying is that we don't realize how quickly we become cultured to good stuff. As companies start getting nice to us, you wanna know where I really think this goes?
Yes, I do.
I think you, Jason, wakes up in 4 years, tweets out, I'm taking a run. Because now you're a little bit older and you wanna lose 15 pounds, okay?
I do,
okay?
True.
So now you're like, I'm taking a run. I believe that the next day, at your home is 6 different pairs of sneakers, 4 headbands and a wristband, and maybe an iPad, not Apple, they'll never go there. But here's the bottom line. You will have stuff. Every person sitting here and every person watching this right now in 12 years will be sick of free shit being sent to them.
You're kidding.
Mark it down.
I, actually am a little sick of that right now. I have to be honest.
You're a superstar.
No, but it is anyone.
And you
who
rock
get,
pink shirts. Can we no zoom in on the pink shirt? I mean, the pink shirt is just tremendous. I think it needs a little respect. Needs a little respect.
I agree. And by the way, I got the Tesla is colored after your book cover.
Actually, why do you think did it that color?
It is happening already, though. Brands have figured out with some of these tools. What's the one, Tyler, that does your score?
Clout?
Clout score.
Yeah.
They seem to have figured out who the influencers are with this clout score, and I thought it was a really dumb idea when I first heard it.
Yep.
And now I think it's brilliant.
Well, it's brilliant because the now understanding corporate, they don't want to really do the homework.
No.
It's so much more fun to look at clout and be like, oh, great, an 84, send them some shit.
Exactly. And so now I'm a 73 or a 76 or something, and they keep sending stuff. And then it's movie tickets, and it's this. And then Ford's agency is calling me every day to try to get me to take a survey. I don't want to take a survey.
Right.
So you're right, it's already going to, that's the future. It's going to get annoying. These brands are going to want to do too much.
And here's why. And here's why I want everybody to understand it. I'm not here to rah-rah, and this is why it's going to happen. Here's why I think it's going to happen. I don't think people understand how much a brand is willing to spend to get to you. Guys, they're willing to spend an ungodly amount of money to get to you. Now, where are they spending it? They're spending it through platforms that keep a big chunk of the change, right? Now, these traditional platforms.
Not very efficient.
Not efficient. Nielsen's CEO, in this book I write about, the Nielsen CEO came out and said, well, our numbers are probably about 8% off. If the CEO of Nielsen's is willing to come out and say it's 8% off, first of all, what's the real number?
25%.
Right? Yeah. Second of all, holy crap, imagine in our world coming out, imagine us coming out and saying, well, we're billing you 8% off, or our traffic is 8% off, or this, I mean, it's
ridiculous.
Ludicrous.
And it's on billions of dollars.
And here's the other thing. It's 2011. Like, billboards, really? Do I really need to be paying $19.95 prices for billboards? You're telling me that the people in this room, people watching, are actually looking at billboards? I don't know about you, Jason. I'm scared shitless to drive. Look at your fellow drivers. Yeah. They're not looking at billboards. They're not looking at the fucking road.
Yeah,
they're
the BlackBerry.
Texting.
Yeah.
So I need to be paying $19.94, and really, I need to be paying $19.98 TV commercial price? How many people in this little crowd here DVR shows? Raise your hand. And how many of
100%.
You... And how many of you fast forward the commercials?
How many people don't fast forward the commercials?
Nice. Supports
Mo,
it.
Yeah,
Mo,
the sales
course,
guy.
Mo's worried about the advertisers.
Actually, technically, you know? Jason, that is not a great idea. You know, we have a lot of sponsors who are very important to this show. If there's
so,
a way.
I mean, seriously though, look at that. You saw it, right?
Yes.
And I'm sure people at home, hopefully you raised your hand, it's fun. I mean, why are we paying prices in a reality that is no more? And so what companies are starting to do finally.
Why?
Because it's all circle
jerk. Is it
jerk.
Inertia?
No, it's a circle jerk. People want to make it easy. Brand managers of these big companies want to just buy TV because they want to sit at home and see the commercial that they paid for and be like, hey, I made a commercial. They want to see their billboard. Do you know that they put billboards by executives' homes? Do you know billboard companies run billboards by executives' homes so the CEO and the COO, when they drive on the way to work, be like, there's my billboard, my good. I mean,
really?
It's such a...
Tyler, can you get on
Tyler,
that?
Tyler, get on
billboard.
That.
If we can billboard in Brentwood.
Did you hear what Groupon did with Living Social?
Groupon did with Living Social?
They put billboards near them?
The building across the street.
Has a billboard.
Six stories tall,
love
right
it.
Across their...
The whole, that's the FU billboard.
By the way, the whole Groupon Living Social battle is so fun. They need to go into a steel cage, raw. I love it. But
awesome.
Jason, here's the bottom line. It's all a system, right? I mean, it's a system that makes sense. It's the way they've always done it. It's easy. Here's what you do if
you're paradigm is shifting.
If you want to be a CMO at a major CPG company, you play it safe.
Consumer packaged goods.
Correct. You run a commercial, right? If it does well, you're a champion. If it doesn't, you spend the next year analyzing why it didn't do well. I mean, it's really quite ludicrous. It's super non-entrepreneurial, and it's living in a time that doesn't exist anymore. So what's gonna happen is, younger blood is coming in, disruption is happening, people are getting put out of business, see a Blockbuster, see a Borders, it's gonna continue, and what's gonna happen is, people are gonna start looking at their business, and they're gonna say, wait a minute, if we wanna get to the end user, and we're paying, on average, $287, and the data's not right, why don't we just give the $287 to Jason, cause he just said that he's a runner, fuck it, let's give him three pairs of sneakers.
And then maybe he'll buy the fourth, the fifth, and sixth.
And you're creating context, right?
Yeah.
And listen, do I think it's, I hope people don't misunderstood. This is just on product giveaway, right? Let me give you an example. The thank you economy at Wine Library. We had a customer who just dropped 20 G's on wine, very short, and from Chicago. I told Kristen at Wine Library, I want you to know who who this person is. We found him on Twitter, we put him into our CRM system, we started following him. We noticed that he started tweeting about Jay Cutler consistently. I love you, Jay Cutler, don't be mad at Jay Cutler. If Jay Cutler really didn't get hurt, we would have won, we would have been in the Super Bowl. Marry me, Jay Cutler. This guy loves Jay Cutler. I call Kristen, I'm like, Kristen, I want you to go to eBay, I want you to buy a Jay Cutler jersey, and I want you to send him a note saying thank you for becoming a Wine Library customer. That was huge for him. He told us that he's not shopping with any other wine shop because we hit his emotional center. We didn't give him free shipping to Wine Library. We didn't give him a wine rack or free glasses in the context of our world. We went all the way left field and we touched the emotional center. If a company sent something nice to your for your children, for your daughter, right?
Oh yeah.
That hits
they
you in a dip.
Me.
They got you.
They got me. Oh,
if
you know
somebody
who did
sent
that? Skip Hop did that.
And that's it.
They sent me two boxes, every single product, and they sent two of each. I came home to my wife.
Yep.
I'm the greatest guy ever.
Yeah.
The Skip Hop diaper, you have the Skip Hop stuff?
My wife is in full control. She's the CEO of Misha.
How old is your daughter?
21 months.
15 months.
Yeah, I mean.
How has that changed your life as an entrepreneur? We could have that discussion too.
Yeah, I mean, it's the biggest shift in my life. I mean, you know, family is what you live for. I mean, it's interesting. You know, I'm gonna go politically incorrect on you because that's, you know, I'm an unfiltered
no,
kind of character.
Honest,
the first 9 months I was like, oh man, I'm a piece of shit. I'm a bad guy. Like, why am I not like changing my life? As soon as she started interacting,
yeah,
things changed.
Absolutely.
I think, I don't know if that's a dude thing.
It's
I've heard that.
Yeah.
You know, once she started saying, like when she rolled into my room a couple of months ago after we hung out all day Sunday, which right, is how my life's changed, right? The reason I don't answer every email anymore is because I used to sit on my ass on a Sunday, on a beautiful Sunday afternoon, and answer 900 emails and be proud of myself that I caught up, spend a little time with Lizzie because she could stay up later and we'd go. Now I spend that time with Misha. We spent a whole hardcore Sunday together. It was a ton of fun. Lizzie went out and did some stuff. The next morning I'm getting ready for work, she runs into my room, she looks me dead in the face, and she's talking early, very early,
yeah,
which I'm not sure where she's getting that from, but I have an idea.
Yeah.
She looks at me and she goes, Daddy, I'm back. And that was it.
Yeah, that's
and
it.
I was like,
I'm back.
And I was like the way she delivered it, and I'm yeah, like, wow, now I understand why I'm not going to work as hard, do as many yeah, things, I need to be around this kind of stuff. So it's a love that is difficult to understand.
Yeah.
And it's the greatest thing that's ever
well,
happened to me.
Well put, well put. Let's go.
Let me say a couple more things about TYE,
yeah,
if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
Because I'm very concerned, you have a very educated viewership.
Absolutely.
And I want them to understand, what I'm obsessed with is, I truly believe that context matters so darn much. I think it matters. I think it matters when you know your community, right? I think it matters when you care about them. Like, I look at this small crowd, and I've talked to some of them today on Twitter, like, or yesterday. It matters. I know who they are. I hate this concept of we become less of a, you know, like
yeah,
you hear this from all the old school peeps, like, oh, society's so screwed up now. You don't communicate with each other. You're out of your mind. You're not using the product. I'm communicating more than ever. I have context on much of this crowd that I never could have without the Twitters and the Facebooks and Tumblrs of the world, right? And so I'm blown away by people's lack of understanding that if somebody says your product's awesome and you wink at them, that acknowledgement means something. Think about this. Think about when somebody's giving you a head nod. What's a head nod? It's such a half-assed thing, right? Like a head nod is not like some I'm not talking about fucking hugging. I'm talking about a head nod. I'm talking about you're walking in the office,
yeah,
you know, you're kind of like a czar in this establishment. I'm sure that, you know, these guys are working their ass off, 19 hours, and you walk by and you give them a little head nod, fuck, that's huge. They're pumped. Jason fucking acknowledged me. You know, a head nod. A head nod. It matters. A wink, an LOL, a thank you. These things that you're doing in the trenches matter. The radio business has a $1 billion business based on drive time radio. That mom is driving to the supermarket, and if you run a Tide or a Dove commercial during drive time, when she goes into the supermarket, she's gonna buy your product, right? That's the thesis.
That's the concept.
That's the concept. And I believe in impressions. I mean, I do believe in that.
Yeah.
I believe in branding. Here's my thing though. So what happens when you actually do something nice in the trenches? For example, Harris Casino Group, client of ours. During CES, we monitored every conversation for 24 hours. I hired West Coast, sent out some of my guys, people stayed up to 3 o'clock in the morning at Vayner. You know, it's hardcore, like in here. It's
yeah,
dungeon style, right? We're
right,
entrepreneurs.
No doubt.
So,
boiler room.
Somebody tweets out during CES, does anybody know where I can see the Junior Olympic hockey game? One of my guys sees it, calls Caesars Casino Sportsbook, says, do you have this? They said, yes. They said, can you reserve a table for this guy? Yes. They tweeted him. He goes, he has a good time. The next morning, we see this tweet from this customer. Checking out of the win, checking into Caesars. That is ROI.
Awesome.
And so I'm just stunned at people. And by the way, we are gonna be living through the great bubble of social media over the next 3 years. People are gonna lose their shirts. It's gonna be a bubble. And people are gonna be down on social media in the next 36 months because there's a lot of hype. There's clowns like me running around screaming this is the best shit ever.
So it's gonna go through a bubble, pop.
It's gonna be a 99 to 2001 thing. The internet was hot as shit, right? Then 99 to 2001, the stock market collapsed.
Right.
Because there was a lot of things done wrong. 95% of the stuff that I see on social today is done wrong because it's push. It has no emotion, it has no good intent, and everybody's treating it like it's a traditional media platform, which it's not. Everybody's trying to give a presentation during a cocktail party, okay? So everybody's struggling with it. People are gonna struggle, they're gonna spend a lot of money, and nothing good's gonna happen. And this reminds me so much of 99 to 2001. And people are gonna make decisions. Like here's my favorite, Blockbuster, a bunch of 80-year-old white dudes sat in a boardroom and said, hey Dick, do you know this Netflix thing? No. Hey Johnny, you see this thing? No. Paul, no. Anybody even hear of this Netflix thing? No, fuck it. 8 years later, you're out of business, Blockbuster.
Right.
And so innovation matters. If innovation didn't matter, if social change didn't matter, IBM would be dominating our world, right? Or Microsoft. Microsoft would have never let Google happen. Google would have never let Facebook happen. Facebook would have never let Twitter happen, and on and on and on. And so I'm just very concerned that people think that their demo is not in social. I hate that. Gary, my customers aren't in social. They're older. Everybody's fucking grandma is on Facebook.
Absolutely.
I mean, come on, that ship has sailed. Like, please don't give me bullshit excuses because you don't want to put in the work.
I mean, that is what it is about, right? I mean, you go to one of these companies and they know they're supposed to be doing it, but they will, they're just like, I am
no, they say, what's the ROI? What's the ROI? What's the ROI?
Oh, they want to quantify
it. And I always say, well, what the fuck is the ROI of your mother? Like, I don't know what the I don't have data to show you the ROI of Tamara Vaynerchuk, but I can sit firmly here and tell you that it's everything. It's the whole fucking game. Because without the way my mom raised me, I'd be a clown. And so I don't understand how people don't understand the emotional impact of business. It's not just black and white. Plus, by the way, traditional, your black and white data sucks. It's horseshit. Arbitron, the major fucking radio company, in the bottom of their website says the data from Arbitron is the opinion of Arbitron.
It's not even data.
It's not even fucking data. Do you know that Nielsen sends little questionnaires to people that have the box and asks them to fill out the shows they watched?
Right.
You guys know that?
Right.
I mean, they're lying. They're making it up. Yeah, I think I watched Oprah.
I watched PBS. I was watching Nova and then Meet the Press and some other educational
program. The whole thing is really interesting. It's a whole circle jerk.
Right.
And it's going to collapse. Disruption's coming. And the companies that outcare and actually when did not caring about your end user become not a real job or something that didn't have ROI?
Yeah.
It's all going small town rules, Jason. Your grandparents, our collective grandparents, are much more positioned to be successful in 2015 than we are because we're entitled, we're soft, we want everything to be scalable. Everybody in our world that's super smart wants everything to be scalable and scripts and data and all this.
Yeah.
Everybody in traditional, right? Mm. They just want, you know, they want it to be the way they want it and old school. And I think it's something very much in the middle. It needs to be about human interaction and you can scale caring with social.
And it's interesting you mentioned scaling because GoToWebinar set up webinars for up to 1,000. That's a pretty good segue, wasn't it?
That's amazing. Go ahead, do your thing.
Yeah, so thank you to GoToWebinar for letting us set up webinars. It's so awkward to do a commercial in the middle of the social thing, but I actually used GoToWebinar to have 70 people on the phone for the launch conference for all the exhibitors. I said, everybody get on the phone, all the companies, and we'll do a Q&A session. It worked brilliantly. And this is actually, I think, the future of media. I get to pick who's the sponsor of the show. And I only pick the products that I actually use.
Sure.
Like GoToWebinar. 30 days free, use the promotion code TWIST. It's like three easy steps. It works. It's like GoToMeeting, but you can use like 1,000 people on it. And I really do appreciate them. I always say thank you to them. You guys say thank you too on Twitter. Just say thank you at GoToWebinar for sponsoring This Week in Startups. And that little thank you, let me tell you something. I started doing that on This Week in Tech, I don't know, 2 years ago with Leo, and I said, hey, you know, everybody who's listening, go thank GoDaddy and go thank Squarespace and thank these guys. And the sponsors were more interested in the thank yous on Twitter, or equally interested, as they were for the ad on the show.
But let's understand why people who are watching this right now would go and do that. You've clearly given them enough that that they feel like they want to. You paid forward. You didn't come out of left field. You put out a lot of content that doesn't cost them anything, right? You've been in the scene a long time. So it's not only skill set, but it's actually engagement in the audience. And everybody's got different levels. Listen, Jason, you know this better than anybody because you were around the first day I started. The first day I did Wine Library TV when I had zero brand equity in tech.
Right.
You know, you were there. So you watched what happened with me.
Sure.
There's a million people that have come and gone. The reason I've been relevant is because I've just given as much as possible. This is a case study of my life.
And you haven't stopped. I mean, I think that's something that people forget. You had done it consistently for years now. I mean, how many of these episodes have you done now?
So I retired from Wine Library TV at South By during my keynote. I stopped at episode 1000.
Right.
Because I wanted to continue to innovate. I launched something called Daily Grape.
Ah, this is the new iPhone app.
This is the new iPhone app. And it's still on the site too, and the Android's coming. But I feel like I was meeting with a lot of startups. I do a lot of angel investing. We've invested in some things together. And I keep yelling at them, right? They come in and they're like, okay, Gary, here's what we are. We're like Quora meets Instagram with a little gawala and a shade of path. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck. You know, like they always, and they're like, and we're gonna be on TechCrunch, and we're gonna be, you know, and Mashable's gonna write about us, and Chris Sock and McClure are investing in us. And I was like, what does any of this mean?
Social proof.
You know what I mean? I was like, what problem are you solving, and do you give a fuck about your customer? Then all of a sudden, I kept saying, what problem are you solving? One day I'm driving and I'm taping Wine Library TV, and I'm like, what problem am I solving with this? I'm like, entertainment has value. I get it. Right. But there's a lot of content out there. So what I realize is wine scares people, right? People watch my show because nobody knows anything about wine. It's hard, it's difficult. There's a lot, everybody in wine's a douchebag. And so I decided that.
There's a lot of bags in there.
There's a lot of bags. So now when you watch a show mobily or on the site, you can add a wine to your wish list. It goes into the app, right? And now people are walking around with their wish list. So you're watching the show, you're like, oh, that sounds good. You hit one button, it's on your phone. And now, you know, you go on a date, you want to act cool, you know, you want to know something. Or if you're just shopping and you're into wine, I've just made my content useful. I think useful entertainment is a very interesting evolution to where things are going. You know, you made a very nice compliment to me because I know you've been pivoting heavily into video. You said, I got to give you credit, you were on the video thing early.
Very early.
I think that I'm evolving into something that's going to really matter. It's useful content.
It's actually getting into people's, the flow of their daily lives, solving some problem.
Mobile's the game, right? I mean, mobile's the game. So that's that. I used Cabana, which I know did presented at launch.
And they won best design, amazing product.
So I'm happy with that. It's interesting, a lot of people have been stunned what a non-native app can look like with Cabana, so that's been a fun study. But most of all, it's shorter. You know, my show was like 35 minutes, and I know I'm fun and all, but you know, it's a lot of commitment.
It's exhausting.
It's exhausting. So now it's 7, 5, 6.
All right, snackable.
You know, while you're in the car texting instead of watching the show, you know, the road, instead of looking at a fucking billboard, you can watch Daily Grape.
Yeah.
And it's just much more useful. I mean, I'm only 6 episodes in. Yesterday, I get an email from a guy, watched a Riesling episode, added to the wish list, went to a restaurant, me and my girlfriend, said, do you have this? The guy said, not exactly that, but close. And we loved it because it tasted like you described. That's me scratching my happy itch of like, okay, good. I'm executing on the thesis.
If I enjoy dessert wine and port more than I enjoy regular wine, does that make me like girly? That I like the sweet wines? Does that make me like less of a man? Like,
no, listen, I mean, listen.
What's like a man's wine to drink? Because I like the dessert wine.
I'm a huge fan of dessert wine.
I love the ports. I love that stuff.
No, listen, clearly you're not worried about that. Look at the shirt you're wearing, right?
That's true.
I mean,
it is pink.
I rock pink all the time. So you're not worried about being girly.
No.
You know who you are.
Yeah,
you're Brooklyn.
I love that.
You're Brooklyn.
Absolutely.
By the way, can we talk about the Knicks? I'm fucking pissed.
What? You don't like the trade?
No, I love the trade, but I'd like to make the playoffs. I mean, we're starting to get to the danger zone.
It'll be
fine. We need a big man. We need Tyson Chandler next year.
It's not going to be a problem. Right. This is what happens. If we didn't make the trade, we'd be one or two games
above
500.
No, I agree. It
was
a great
trade. We're one or two games below 500.
Me, you, and Fred Wilson got into a big Twitter discussion that night. I think we were on the same page. I like the trade.
You gave a boy a lot.
Here's the thing. You should drink Banyul. You should go try a Banyul.
Banyuls. Y-U-L-S.
It is a late harvest Grenache. It is, in my opinion, better than port, though I love Portugal. It's a fourth of the price.
A fourth of the price?
I know you like that.
Mon Dieu.
And it's just tremendous wine. And it's nerdy, geeky, and I highly recommend Banyul for you.
All right, there you have it. You guys have any questions there in the audience? I see everybody's listening to Gary. Don't be scared. Anybody from the Mahalo staff can have a question. It's allowed to.
Tyler, do something.
Tyler? Oh, Joyce.
Hi.
Go ahead, Joyce.
Hi, Joyce.
If it's Thank you, economy. Why not give them a boy free?
It's a very good question. Yes. So the question is, Jesus Christ, Joyce. So the question is, if it's the thank you economy, why not give away the book for free? The thank you economy isn't called the free economy, you know. So that's the first reason. And by the way, and I said it early on in this, and it's super important for me to context this. I'm a businessman, right? Like, I'm excited that I put out real hardcore. You know, I like that I'm a businessman that built, like Tony Hsieh, Jason Fried. I like to buy these books or support them because they've gone out and actually built businesses. And I have nothing against Malcolm Gladwell and other people like that, but I really do enjoy the thought of like buying business books from people that have gone in and executed in the trenches instead of people that have taught at universities, right? I mean,
yeah,
I think that's interesting. For me, I'm a businessman. I feel like it's a super value for 13 or 14 bucks for what I'm doing in there. And the thank you economy, the word thank you represents, I almost call this manners marketing. It just talks about a tact of how to handle yourself in a transparent, word of mouth, cocktail party business world. It doesn't talk about, wasn't there a book like that, free? Didn't somebody do that? Chris Anderson, right?
Chris Anderson did
free,
yeah.
This isn't about free content at all. This has nothing to do with that. That would be a big reason why I wouldn't give it away for free. It just talks about, holy crap, you kind of got to become better, and you've got to, more importantly than be nice, it's create context. I think I'm just obsessed with that word. I'm fascinated by watching it. You know, the fact that I can look through the crowd and see Wanda because we engage on Twitter, and I don't really know, by old school standards, I don't really know her, but I can tell you right now, the way I feel about her by seeing her through the crowd is definitely different than somebody I've never met before, and it's been based on the social engagement we've had on these platforms. Tonight, we're gonna hang a little bit longer. I've got a ton of stuff in the morning. I'm gonna go back to my hotel room, hopefully pretty quickly. I'm gonna lay in my bed. I'm gonna continue to engage with my community because I think that scales for me, and more importantly, me and Lady Gaga and the Biebs, we don't scale, we're people,
right?
Companies do. Nike and Campbell's and Ford have no excuse. They can hire their asses off to find people that will go in there and vet, tell their story, their brand story, and actually give a crap, answer questions.
What job title? Is the problem that there's no job title at these big companies for them?
No.
Like, oh, you don't make it, you're
no,
not the salesperson?
No, the problem is there's no Nielsen's report saying that a Facebook follower is worth $1.47.
Right.
Exactly right. Thank you, Tyler. I mean, you know, say it again. I mean, I think, you know,
Hallelujah.
It's coming. It's coming. And clout has started the process. Nielsen's will buy clout. It'll be clout Nielsen's. And everybody's going to, in corporate America, is going to be like, okay, great. Now we can, now
what
we have the
green
light. What
does that mean for the people with the low clout score, though?
What's that?
Nothing? The people with the low clout score?
Well, that's the funny part. I actually think that's where the action is.
Ah.
Because if you're Jason, you're used to getting tons of free shit.
Yeah, it don't mean anything to me.
Right? Pammy Thompson in Arkansas, if she gets some free Doritos, she's shitting her pants.
That's true. Everybody's business plan has mommy bloggers.
No. That's all. I'm going to get to mommy bloggers.
All right. That'll be an hour too.
Yeah. Well, let's do that for next year. That's a whole racket.
Those mommy bloggers, they're shaking people down.
If you're a mommy blogger, you better start policing the other mommy bloggers because
they're
the brand of
people down.
The mommy blogger thing is like, you're right. It's like fucking Tony Soprano out there.
They're going to get their free shit one way or the other.
But
you're
it's diluted the whole thing. I mean, I'm talking to these brands. They're so going off of that. Because they're taking everything, they're hoarding everything, and more importantly, mommy bloggers, when you take shit, you better be transparent when you're writing about it, because your community's gonna find out, you're gonna get exposed, and you're not gonna have a community.
What do you think this company MyLikes, did you see that the other day they came out?
Where no.
You do a tweet, and it's an ad, it's sort of like, what's the company here in...
Adley.
There's
the Charlie Sheen thing?
Adley. Yeah, they're selling ads for that. What do you think of that? How's that fit into all this?
As somebody who has close to a million followers, I've had all the offers. It's kind of hard to walk away from like 30 G's for a tweet or 5 G's from a tweet, right? I mean, it's not so easy.
Do it for charity.
You know, charity is a whole nother clutch. I talk about it in this, by the way, and this is something I'm massively passionate about. Oh, look who's calling. Something massively, Kevin, maybe he heard the rock climbing thing. I think that
hey,
if you tweet out.
How are you doing? Hold on a second. I'm putting you live on the air with Gary. Hold on. Hold on a second, Kevin. Say hello, everybody. Say hello. All right, we can't hear you.
If you tweet out that if you follow, if I get 100 followers, I'm gonna donate $100 to Japan, you're a fuckface. And so can please everybody in the Twitter world, the Jason Nation, you guys are passionate, you guys are loud as shit, please do me a favor. The next time somebody tweets out, if I get 50 more followers, we'll donate $50 to the Japan Relief, or you know, $100 to the New Zealand Earthquake Foundation, or the Red Cross. The next time you see it, please personally email me at gary@vaynermedia.com with the link so I can piss on those people.
I hate that, yes. Just give the fucking
$100. I mean, just give the $100, asshole.
Yes, it's so douchey.
I mean, so like, you know, I feel like that all bleeds into the same stuff. Every person in this room, and definitely every person watching right now, their bullshit radars are phenomenal. We know what's going on. We know that you just want 100 more followers. And you know, we know, we're not that stupid. I'm sickened by B player marketers thinking they're so smart. It's just tactics, and it's short sight, and it's hooking up instead of marrying. I want my companies to get their customers to put a ring on it, not to just hook up for the night.
Mm, I like it. Any other
questions? I thought I'd
give
my girl Beyonce a little something.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead, Josh.
Josh, get in here.
Yeah, what's your advice to people who have a personal brand, like a celebrity or something, and they have too many followers to really engage personally?
I don't believe that. Yeah. So here's my thing, and I don't know if you guys could hear on the, could they catch it on the video?
No,
I'll repeat it. The question is, what if you're a celebrity or a personal brand, you have too many followers to engage one-on-one, right? Here's my two thoughts. First of all, I think effort is grossly underestimated. Effort is something that I don't think we're putting enough chips on. Because as somebody who literally tried to engage with every single engagement, as things started happening in my life, I remember last year in January, my sister had a baby. It's a big deal, super exciting. I was kind of off the grid for 2 or 3 days. And a couple tweets popped up saying, Gary Vee, you changed. You know, you used to respond to every one of my tweets. You haven't responded to my last two tweets. Before I could even go in there, because I was still sitting in the hospital responding to people, you know, before I could even go in there, my community jumped in and said, no, I just got a tweet, I just got an email. I think that there's no excuse to not try. I can't wrap my head around, if you have a community, why you wouldn't spend an hour a day responding and not replying. For example, I just did a Piers Morgan show. It's coming up.
You did?
I did.
Wow, how was that?
It was cool.
Yeah.
You know, in there, I kind of called him out. He was kind of talking, I go, Piers, look at you. He was asking me about this. I said, Piers, look at you, you're a big star. And he was really funny. He was like, say it again. I was like, okay, you're a big star. And I go, but, and this was a great moment, I hope they don't edit it out. I'm like, but you don't care about any people watching your show. The only people you're tweeting with is Seacrest and Oprah and all the other celebrities, and you think you're so cool. How about the actual real people? The bottom line is this, I don't think there's a number too big. If 14,000 people tweet at you and you respond to 300, that means a whole lot to those 300, and you systematically fight against the tide. You can't necessarily win and get to everybody, but that effort is being seen by the world. Go right now, tonight, and look at like 500 or 50 or 100 internet celebrities or real celebrities and look at their timeline. I will guarantee you that 99% of them are pushing out shit and retweeting, which is another thing. We did the whole Japan thing, here's another one. If you retweet something that was awesomely said about you, you're fucking bragging. Like we need
right,
to
start. I'll stop.
You know, I mean,
I'll stop.
I mean, it's brag, I mean, why are we not putting human elements to this stuff, right? I mean, like, it's like me
I
saying.
I actually thought that's what Twitter was for.
You know, so my point is this. My point is, if you're putting in the effort, there's value. People are feeling that. You go look at my stream right now. Here's what you're gonna see. 90% at replies and 10% me pushing out stuff like,
that's about
my book.
Right,
you know what I mean? And so I'm not scared to push. You know, I don't wanna give it away for free. I wanna sell stuff. I want people to download my app. I'm not letting anybody leave here tonight unless you show me that you have the app on your iPhone. You know, so I'll get gangster.
Doors are locked.
But you know, I definitely feel that people are just not caring about the end user enough because we didn't have to. Let's call a spade, we just lived through the great box era, the big box store, Walmart, Costco, right? These companies didn't have to. It was about price, it was about convenience. Social equity is gonna matter. It's happening every day, and it's just very, very obvious to me. Either I'm gonna be very right or very wrong, and I'm gonna bet on myself.
I think it nailed it. I mean, when I went to New York for the holidays, I got snowed in, and the way I got out on Virgin was they were following me on Twitter.
Yep.
I direct messages with them. I got them on the phone. They got me out on an early flight. Then I was in New York, and
the guys from the Knicks said, oh, you're in town? Because I tweet every Knick game.
Yep.
They said, are you coming to the game? I said, yeah, I'm going to get some tickets for it. They said, oh, no, we got tickets for you already. Come.
Yeah.
Second row.
And you're feeling that now because you're a brand in the space. I think it trickles down from your mountain. Right now, yeah. You're in a different place than a lot of people. They look at your follower count. You've got brand equity, this, that, and the other thing. What I get fascinated about, I'm actually not so fascinated about how you get treated and I do and Kevin and Matt.
Yeah.
Actually, I actually don't give a fuck about that. I'm curious about when it trickles down the mountain and we start treating Sally, Arkansas, and Timmy, Iowa, and Peter, LA.
Is that really gonna happen?
Yes, because here's why. They're spending that money to get those people now. They're giving it to newspaper ads, they're giving it to Google.
So if you were running one of the airlines, you would just say, fuck it, no more television commercials, let's hire 100 people, or let's cut 25% of the commercials.
Now you're getting more interesting. Listen, I love traditional media. By the way, I'm glad we got to this point. I'm a huge TV guy, radio, print, billboard. It doesn't sound like it, I'm all in. Here's my problem. I don't like the pricing. I don't think the pricing's relevant to the
world.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I bought billboards for my book. Instead of $16,000, I paid $1,000.
How'd you do that?
I went gangster.
Nice.
I negotiated. I'll pay you this. And they're like, all right. I mean, like, you know, I mean, it's pretty scary what you can get when you start asking, right? So anyway, I think that you have to have a better mix. And I think that if you lay, and the funniest part is, I'm talking about layering human beings on top of technology. If you look at Groupon, Google wasn't buying their tech. I don't think anybody here can't, you know, any developer in this building right now could have probably replicated the tech in 48 hours, right?
Yeah.
They weren't buying the mailing list. If Google wanted the mailing list, one little design change for 2 weeks on Google, and they could have had that mailing list,
they
right?
They wanted the what, the brand?
No, they wanted the salespeople who had
the relationships
with every little sushi restaurant and Chinese restaurant and liquor store and Pilates place. The human element of Groupon is dramatically more valuable than you can imagine.
Is that the biggest social business that's been built?
I would look at it that way.
Yeah.
You know, maybe, I mean, during this whole curve, I think it is very fascinating. By the way, I think this is such a big maturity of the internet itself. What we're talking about is not social media. We're talking about the internet's only 17 years old. It's only been 17 years since AOL spammed all our mailboxes, right? And it's maturing and it's bringing human elements to the table. Here's a little alert, we're humans.
Yes.
It's how we roll, it's what we do, it's who we are. And I'm just fascinated by this tremendously.
Let me ask you a final question.
Yeah.
If tomorrow you woke up and all the Gary Vaynerchuk stuff you've done, all the books and all the consulting, let's say all that somehow magically wrapped itself up. I don't know, somebody came and bought all those assets.
Right.
Now, clean slate, there's absolutely nothing on your punch list. The email box is at zero, email box zero, and you've got, you know, tons of money in the bank, whatever.
Right.
What would you do? What on a business level, you know, obviously you spend time with your family, but
sure, on a professional level.
Do that hard cut and then do something else. Would you be a talk show host? Would you want to make a movie? Would you want to be an athlete? What would you want to be?
You know, I like selling stuff. I'm a retailer, right? So I probably would do a retail startup, but I would tell you this, and I've said this to a couple of close friends because I think it's so weird and I'm not sure it's like a normal thing to think, but I always get very like transparent on your set. So even more so than normal. I secretly want to lose everything.
You want to lose everything?
I secretly want to lose everything. I've secretly, for a while now, have been interested in the thought of the internet and alcohol being banned. And what would happen? Because I'm so confident in my chops, I want to show everybody that I can go to dead zero and build it all back up. So when you painted that picture, that excited me.
Huh.
Because I would love to start. The happiest I've been during this whole journey hasn't been where I am now, which is right now I'm at the height of my popularity and financials from this whole 5-year run since Wine Library TV started. My favorite day was the day I started Wine Library TV because I taped in front of a camera, I sat there and I said, everybody I know is about to think I've lost my shit. All my employees are gonna be scared about what I'm about to do.
It was scary.
But not for me, right?
Right.
I knew exactly what was gonna happen. I hated the articles in 07 and 08 when I started blowing up. People were like, Gary, could you believe this happened to you? I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I knew that I had the chops. I knew I was gonna work every hour.
Well, everybody was scared to just look into a camera and talk at that time. There was like three shows. It was you.
Zay.
And then Rocket Boom. And it was like, okay, well, there are three things to watch on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah, I just...
And what was it? You saw Zay? Was Zay the inspiration?
Here's what happened. WineLibrary.com was rocking. I sat closer than we're sitting right now to my lead developer. It's how I learned all this. It's how I learned about you. He's like, check out this guy, Anil Dash. I'm like, fuck that guy. Check out this guy, Jason Cocky. Fuck him. You know, I was like, fuck all these guys. Waxy.org. I don't give a shit about these guys. I'm better than these guys. But then I was like, wait a minute. These guys are onto something, right? Every day sitting there, you know, in 2001 when he started, he's like, why are you going to Yahoo? Check out Google. I'm like, this is the dumbest site I've ever seen, a blank white page. How are these fuckers gonna make money? Right. I'm glad I wasn't making predictions back then. You know, I kept looking and blogging and Blogger, and I'm like, fuck, I wish I could write, which is so funny about all this, because then I would blog. And then when I saw YouTube super early on, I was like, okay, this shit is interesting, right?
Right.
And so then Zay came, and they're like obsessed with Zay. Every lunch break, I'm sitting there trying to sell wine, and they're like bawling over themselves. And finally, I hung up one sales call, and I was like, I could do that. And they were like,
no,
and then
genius.
I was like, fuck, I gotta do this.
Yeah.
So I was like, fine. So basically, they were so obsessed with Zay. And you know what it actually was? It was Rocket Boom signing a deal with TiVo that tilted me. Right around that same day with Zay, like a week later, they said, did you hear that Rocket Boom signed a deal with TiVo? And at this time, TiVo was like, that was like the iPad and iPhones and like
rolled into one.
Oh, TiVo was like,
that's it.
I mean, I couldn't even, you know, it was it. And so I was like, holy shit, really? And that was it. Literally, I was like, okay, one, I got to prove my developers wrong that I'm better than Zay. And two, if you can sign a deal with TiVo, this thing is going places. And I sat down, I taped that show in February of 06, and I just knew. And that was my favorite time. So you telling me a day in the world, I would like to even add that I wish I could erase all my equity. Forget about the money. I wish nobody here knew who I was. I'd love right now
to start from zero.
Go into some, like, you know how comedians go into like bars in like Tennessee and work on their craft? I kind of feel like
that. I feel like I want to
go to like Sri Lanka right now and start businesses.
Just start like, yeah. Like I feel the like version of Groupon there and just see if you can get it going.
I'm just so, Jason, I'm going to tell you one thing right now. I so don't care about stuff or money. Everybody knows I want to buy the Jets.
Right.
But I can say it here, I'm gonna break more news for you. I really don't care if I buy the Jets or not. I'm obsessed with the process.
Yes.
I'm obsessed with the process, the grind. I like to see, am I as good as you because you sold, you know, weblogs. Yeah. Like, I wanna see, like, I see fucking Andrew Mason with Groupon, like, fuck. You know, Tony Shea, I'm like, fuck. It motivates me, I'm hungry. But what I know is that I'm not the kind of guy that's gonna build those kind of sites. I'm the marathon runner. I know that everybody's gonna wake up in 35 years and be like, fuck, he
got some things right.
He was good. And so that's what I, and when I write these books, I'm in the business of being right about 3 years from now. In Crush It, I went bonkers on Tumblr, right?
Yep.
I got so many emails in 2009, why do you like Tumblr? Like, Tumblr's stupid. Like, Postgres is gonna kill Tumblr. Like, all this shit.
Yeah, now Tumblr's exploded.
And it's, I mean, it's number three. I mean, if you talk to any normal 15, 16, 17 year old in America today, they're on Tumblr. They're growing by a quarter of a billion page views a week. It's one, and I'm starting to get emails from people like saying, how did you know that? Why did you think that? You're now seeing a lot of bullish stuff on video, right?
Yep.
I get a compliment from you in there. That means a lot to me because you're not a clown, you're an executor, you build businesses. That was because I did it. And making this pivot to mobile and doing a newsletter, people are gonna be like, holy shit, the freemium mobile thing. And so you kind of keep trying to show your chops. I'm in the business of showing my chops and executing, and that's what I'd like to leave as a legacy, because legacy is all I care about.
Wow, Gary Vaynerchuk, another amazing episode. Let's hear it for Gary.
Thank you.
Well done, well done. And thanks to our sponsors, of course, Trotta and GoToWebinar. And thanks to Squarespace for hosting a bunch of my websites.
Amazing company.
You know Anthony.
He is one of the best entrepreneurs in the whole game, and nobody knows him because he's not a self-promoter.
Right, you
know,
he's not.
He's not like us.
No, he's just like, I'm putting my head down.
Behind the scenes, built a business, right? Yeah. When everybody was giving away platform for free, he's like, why? Here's how I'm gonna do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that conversation needs to be had. I mean, look, Apple's about to become evil to everybody, right? Like, people are gonna start realizing it's about closed and making money and all this stuff. It's gonna be a very fascinating space in 24 months. I can't wait to come back and talk about those things.
Awesome. So thank you to Squarespace, blah, 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 blah. And
be careful, you watch it.
Yeah. Oh, hey, before we close, what do you think of Kevin's situation, I guess?
At Dig?
Yeah, Dig, and just like, you know, got his ass kicked a little bit in the last 6 months, but now he's coming back, he's got a new startup, supposedly.
So here's my thought on this.
What do you think of him as an entrepreneur and like what he's going through?
So here's my thought on this, and you know Kevin, listen, called during this interview, he's a friend of mine. I I kind of equate it a little bit to Wine Library, believe it or not, in some ways for me. Like in the wine world, everybody's so happy that I got distracted by social and like kind of, right? Because like everybody's like, oh, like we were gonna be it, right? I know Kevin is such an entrepreneur, right? Like I don't wanna talk for him, but when you start losing passion in something, it's not going to be successful. And I actually think Diggs' decline alongside Kevin's passion for it proves his skill more than anything else.
Right.
You know, if you really dissect it properly, and of course, I come from a clouded lens, he is somebody I feel emotional about.
Right.
But I think it's fascinating to watch. Like everything I've become less passionate about has not done as well. And, you know, I mean, the second I turned off Crush It the first time around, its Amazon rank did not do as well. And so I think here's a very interesting time for Kevin's career, and it's gonna be interesting for a lot of us. You know,
Second acts, third acts.
I mean, this is all so new, right? We're all so new, we're all new to the game. Like, by the way, it's why I think here's a bomb. I think Jeff Bezos is a better entrepreneur than Steve Jobs. I think Bezos is better, because for me, he's continued to innovate so much out of his circle. It's not just Amazon, it's not just Kindle. It's, you know,
EC2.
It's the services, which is, by the way, soon we're gonna have conversations that if Amazon services go down, our economy's in trouble. Like, it's so important. And how about Mechanical Turk? And how about buying Woot and doing the deals? How about buying Zappos? In this book, I say the day the thank you economy was born was when Amazon bought Zappos, because they didn't buy them for more shoes. They bought them for culture and understanding where this world's going. And so, you know, I think Kevin, his jury is still out. He did something very special. He's one of the faces of the world that we all know.
Yeah.
My most happy day in 2006 doing Wine Library TV is when Wine Library TV made the front page of Dig.
It was
what you lived for. And I'm very curious about what he's gonna do next.
And he doesn't get credit for Rev3, which is doing tremendous.
Yeah, I think he's, I know him extremely well. I've been in a lot of entrepreneurial jam sessions where people show their chops. I have a very good feeling he'll be successful. Don't forget, he was a fast follower to Twitter with Pounce.
Right.
And Pounce did a lot of things that Twitter just implemented with media.
Still hasn't done.
Right? Yeah. And his big downfall there was a lot of the downfall I see in myself, and you probably feel it too. When you're a hardcore entrepreneur, you try to do too much shit.
Yeah, ADD gets you. It gets you sometimes.
It gets you.
All right, guys, we'll see you next time on This Week in Startups.
All right, episode's over. Please leave a review and subscribe up on Apple. It would mean a lot to me. Thank you very much.
Hey, podcast. Joe from Team Gary here. Today's highlighted review is I Love Gary V's Show by Dr. Jones-DD. If you want to be a true entrepreneur, then this is for you. Thanks to Dr. Jones-DD. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.